One, we're going to talk about a barbarian society living under wicked kings, living in darkness, living in a twisted and perverse generation, a barbarian society, and all the powers of the darkness. Who is the god of this age, by the way? Who is the god of this world, as it says in King James, or of this age? Satan. Satan. We know that. And you look down through history and you see a tremendous amount of satanic activity. Even if you go into the nation of Israel, you'll see good kings rise and fall. And you'll probably see a whole lot more bad kings than good kings, don't you? In the history of Israel and Judah, you'll see a lot more bad kings than you do good kings. And through society, we have seen that. Now, first of all, the Bible talks about nations that have rulers over them, and the rulers are kings. The Bible doesn't really talk a whole lot about democracies. Democracies did not come from totalitarian rules or dictatorships. Alexander the Great established an empire. And in that empire, he would set aside little city-states, part of the great empire. In those little city-states, he would set aside an ecclesia in each area. Now, as we study the book of Acts, we're going to see the term ecclesia used there as one of these societies. It was a society within a society, and it was a democratic society of people that were elected as leaders. The people were elected by the people, in other words, a democracy. And this word ecclesia come from that word. When Jesus came upon the world, he established an ecclesia. He took it away, took Israel's reign away from them. Antony and Cleopatra had to set up Herod the Great as the over the king, over the Roman Empire, or over the Israeli Empire, or Israel, and made him king. And that was anything but a democracy there. And he was not a good king, was he? He did a lot of fantastic building in his life, but he was not a good king to the people. We look through the nation of Israel and we see good kings and bad kings. Then we come down to modern history and we see democracies. In the American continent, there were democracies from coast to coast in Mesoamerica, where we live, basically. There were democracies. Every little Indian tribe was a democracy, and women and men voted, both. It took a long time for Western democracy to catch up with what the Indians were doing here already. America tried to shake off the rulership of England and Spain and France in many ways, and even Russia in the Aleutian Islands and Alaska. American people have fought hard for democratic societies. A lot of times when we sent missionaries out, we tried to make the societies where they were going into little Americas, little democratic societies, with the morality of America, which was really founded on biblical principles. Not so much on God, but upon biblical principles. We know that Thomas Jefferson did not believe in God as we believe in God. George Washington did, Abraham Lincoln did, but many others did not. But we have a democracy that we were used to, we were raised with, weren't we? Even though it was a very imperfect democracy, but it was a democracy. But we live under a different set of rules today, and the rules are changing rapidly. And let's go back and see what the Bible says about this type of society that we live in today. Because it has something to say about it. Even though democracies were not founded by God, but his little democratic society, the ecclesia, was founded by God, and every little church is a separate little democratic empire of its own, with one head of that empire as Jesus Christ. And that culture has brought into what we call the American culture. Thomas Jefferson went to a Baptist business meeting, and he sat there and he listened very carefully. And he was reminded of the Greek and the Roman Empire. The little city-states, the little ecclesias. And he said the rule in Baptist churches was the purest form of democracy that he had ever seen. Thomas Jefferson also copied from the American Indian culture when he said, "We the people." We the people there, the Anglo-Saxon world had never understood anything like that in Europe where they came into this continent. They only knew kings and queens and princes and knights and lords and such. There was royal society, and then there was the peons, the slaves of the society. When we go to the Bible, it talks about slavery in the Bible. And many people were slaves. When you're born again under Jesus Christ, you are a slave of God. Before, you were a slave of Satan. We're always a slave of something. But before we're saved, we're a slave of Satan. We do what we think is our own will, but it's not really our own will. We live in the world of darkness. Ephesians, the second chapter, and the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, talks about living under and in forces of darkness. World grabbers is what it says. Cosmos grabbers. Let's get back here and read what the Apostle Paul said. He's writing to the church of Rome. And the church of Rome is on the Roman Empire. The church of Rome has little ecclesias in it that carried over from the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. There in Athens and the Greek states was the birthplace of Western democracy. And in American soil, the American Indians' philosophies were also democracies. America has two sources of democracy: the Greek Empire and some of the carryover into the Roman Empire and the American Indian culture. Now let's go and see what we've got to say here. Paul says to the church there that I'm always have you in my prayers, making requests. If at last by the will of God, in verse number 10, that I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart or may deposit some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. And he's talking about establishing ecclesias, little democratic governments that we call churches. The Catholic Church so perverted the idea of the word church that people don't know what it means. A church is a local, visible body of believers that carry out the wishes of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by democratic law and in the church. Paul says, I'm hoping to come to you to the church in Rome, and there are probably many churches in Rome. There's not one great big church and little one satellites underneath it. There are all are equal churches. I know in a lot of the Reformed theology and the Lutheran church and Presbyterian church, they have big churches and then little churches, and they have bishops and etc. Rulerships. But in God's churches, the Baptist churches that come down through the ages, you don't have them. Every church is an independent body. Churches congregate together, associating meanings, etc., and I've shown you that in the Bible also. Paul said, I wanted to impart some spiritual gift to you, and the gifts were still in existence at this time. That is, that I might encourage together with you, while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, and both yours and mine. And I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, in order that I might obtain some fruit among you, also even as among the rest of the Gentiles. And what he's saying here is that he wants to see them give. Church members ought to give, it says here. When we support a society, taxes are necessary. Because we have roads to take care of, schools to take care of, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Libraries, post offices, etc. In history, you judge the nation by the post office and its roads and libraries. If a nation had good libraries and good roads and good postal service, they had an infrastructure. We're living today in a barbarian society here. And a barbarian society is being promoted today. And it has been promoted for the last year where we live. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Taxes are necessary. I've always said, and most of you will fall through the floor when I say that, a little socialism wouldn't hurt America. Limited medicine, pharmaceuticals. American people pay taxes like they're living in a socialist country. But in socialist country, they have medicine. And they have doctors provided. We're stuck with taxes sometimes double what some socialist nations and the many nations in the world are socialist. We're talking about socialist democracies, though. I'm going to do a message, the difference between socialism and communism, and there's a world. Of course, you can get over to the what we call radical socialism, which is nothing more than communism. The term racial equity is a communist term, by the way. Doesn't mean racial equality. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, unaware that I have often planned to come to see you. And I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. In America and in ecclesias, the vote is very important. The vote should be absolutely valid. We know that in the history of America, the votes have not always been valid. Elections have been bought and sold. We know that in 1896 and 1900, the Republican Party bought the election. through big business. That's a historical fact. There's bad people on both sides of the aisle, just in case you did not know it. The only thing about it, that second election they bought, McKinley got killed, and a real president, a real ruler, a real prince, a real king took the throne of America and began to give us a nation where the people had a right to vote. A little capitalism doesn't hurt at all. Matter of fact, it's real good for society. Capitalism is real good for society. But when you get complete control, it's not, as was back in 1896 and 1890, etc. Unions did help the working man. Teddy Roosevelt backed the unions. Teddy Roosevelt tried to give us some controls. Teddy Roosevelt tried to carry a big stick and speak softly. And it was good for this country. Those regulations that he had instituted in the FDA, etc., were real good for this country. And they were necessary. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile or the barbarians. For it is in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, all the way back to the book of Habakkuk 2 and 4. Societies need, societies owe justice to their constituents. Nations owe justice to their constituents, to the people that they rule over. Justice is a debt society owes to its people. Not always do we have true justice, do we? Too many people go to jail for nothing. We talk about debtor's prison. I'm going to tell you something, people in America, we have some debtor prisons. They're just called prisons. But people got there because they couldn't afford a lawyer. There's a lot of people that need to be in jail, absolutely. They need to be. Society needs to be protected from each other. Society, the debt society, or the debt the government owes to its people, is protection from other wicked people, for other lawless people, for thieves and robbers and con men. It's necessary. Paul said the government doesn't wield the sword for no reason. Capital punishment is a necessity in society according to God. God lays down the rules for society and governments. As you look way back here in human government, the rule was to protect people from people and to execute those that would murder other people. That's necessity. Jails are a necessity. But so many times innocent people get caught up in that, and we know that people are being turned out just because, many times, because they were the wrong color when they arrested. This last summer, well, all last year, there was a man by the name of George Floyd that was killed when he was being arrested. The man was basically a lawbreaker. He was under investigation, and charges were being brought against him for rape, etc. Breaking restraining oil rules and orders. He was a real problem child. Others in history have been killed like that. But then we have Black Lives Matter that came all the way here. They didn't do much here. They took a little yellow post-it and stuck it down by the post office on the pole down there. It says BLM, Black Lives Matter. But what is Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter are barbarians. Did you hear that? The Black Lives Matter group are barbarians. Barbarians, according to the definition from the Bible. Black Lives Matter is not so much racism or racial protection. The statutes that Black Lives Matter are transgender. Now that's what we're going to talk about here in the book of Romans. Homosexuality, transgender, they're beating buildings down, torching them, burning cars, destroying people's livelihood, breaking into police buildings, offices, and burning them down. For what? They use George Floyd as a diving board. But that's not what they... What they are is anarchist. And the terrible situation is we got princes and queens in our society and rulers that said that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. How many lives? For a few hours in Washington, D.C., there was another mob there, which was not right at all. They're mobs just like Black Lives Matter, and probably Black Lives Matter and Antifa were part of it. President Trump was just declared not guilty of the insurrection they accused him of. Now, let me tell you this. President Trump is not a stupid man. He's not a stupid man. And all during his presidency, he denounced all of the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa going throughout this country, wrecking the country with violence and mayhem. Now, he always stood for law and order, didn't he? The best way for him to destroy his presidency and destroy his chances to even try to straighten the election out, the worst thing he could have done was to cause a riot in Washington, D.C. and break into the Capitol building. That would destroy him. He texted his followers and said, "Don't do this. You're giving ammunition to the enemy. Don't do this." Except the enemy was among his ranks. Anarchy. Destruction is barbarianism. These are barbarians. Barbarians. A barbarian society living in darkness. And let's see what the Paul says about it. The wrath of God's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That is ungodliness. Homosexuality and transgenderism is ungodliness. It is. The Bible tells you that from Genesis through Revelation, doesn't it? Every book. Barbarians are barbarians. You can't paint it up and make it something else. They're barbarians. Barbarians go out and destroy other people's property because maybe they never knew what it was to work for what you get. I'll guarantee you one thing. Marilyn worked for everything she ever got in her life, and so have I. We worked hard. You ever see anybody work harder than me, Marilyn? I always blame it on my white blood. I'm 1/32nd white, by the way. I'm 1/32nd Scots. And I always blame it on that 1/32nd Scot blood me that makes me so aggressive toward work. I worked hard. Because everybody says Indians are lazy, you know. I was told that all my life. But I look back and my people, the Paul family were not lazy. Except for an exception to the rule every now and then that was worthless. They worked hard. They worked hard for what they got. They're Chickasaw Indians. The Paul name goes all the way back to Rand Paul and Ron Paul, and to John Paul Jones, the father of American naming. His name was really John Paul. It wasn't Paul, John Paul Jones. He used that name after he killed his first mate out there in the Caribbean. They wanted to hang him. He came to America and helped our American Revolution, and in 1907, President Theodore Roosevelt went over there in France and brought his body back in a coffin and gave him a royal burial, a hero's burial in Annapolis, Maryland. That was a little side story there, by the way. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, of mankind, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It is wrong to say right and wrong today. You can't say the dark side, the lies are lies anymore. Freedom of speech. That's the First Amendment. The Second Amendment is being able to defend yourself. The Third and the Fourth Amendments are the right to a trial, a right to protection from the government. What just happened in Washington, D.C., the riots were rotten. All the people need to be prosecuted for what they did because they're rioters. They're barbarians. A barbarian society. And all summer long and all spring last year, they're all barbarians. Ruthless barbarians. Killers. Mayhem. Because that which is known of God is evident within them. For God made it evident within them. Every man knows right from wrong. You got to make yourself into an atheist. You got to make yourself into something you aren't. We have got a king that is can go right to Mass and go to Mass and then walk right out and do everything that's absolutely diametrically opposed to the will of God. And smile about it all the time. And don't you say anything wrong about me, because you don't have the right to speak. Is that right? For the last 5 years, Twitter, Facebook, Google, all the five big five news organizations have been bought and sold for, bought and paid for. Against a free society. Now it's not free. Now we don't have the right to speak, and yet I'm still doing it anyway. We're threatened not to tell the truth. For 4 years, the Democratic Party kept hollering that Trump was an illegitimate president. We got one now. Why would the Democrats not want to have transparent elections if they weren't cheating? One thing that in society that the evil part of society, the dark side of society does is they muddy the waters. I found this out when I was trying to protect my daughter's life against child molesters and abusers. By the way, Biden just nullified the funds for those that are going after the porn traffic. The ones that died down there in Florida, you know, the ones that died here, the FBI agents, the good agents that died trying to rescue children and young girls and boys from porn, prostitution. In every society, in every neighborhood, wherever you are, there are children that are missing. That don't want someplace. And the sorry thing about this is some of those people ruling up there in Washington, D.C. are part of that. They take part in it. We know that. It's history. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, but the righteous man, the just, shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They make it legal to suppress the truth. They make it legal to be a homosexuality, a transgender, and then make it racial equity, make them higher than everybody else. Untouchable. Untouchable. A society is measured by what it tolerates. A society is measured by what it tolerates. Remember, I told you that societies were judged by the roads that they built in their societies, by the post offices and the libraries, the education. How about the morality? There is really moral structure. There is really moral structure. Moral structure is not relative. We go over into the Islamic countries and we see child brides 9 years old or being raped by men, five times their age, sold into this society, and that's okay. But from the Bible, it's not okay. We see people used and abused and enslaved. America had a war, basically over states' rights, which turned into slavery. Every black person ought to be able to vote, and their votes ought to count. So should every Indian. The black people had the right to vote before the Indians had the right to vote. Did you know that? In California, if you were one quarter Indian, you were considered a non-person. Through this country from coast to coast, there were more Indian slaves than there ever were black slaves. And by the way, this was our country. Reparation was really never made like it should have been. But you know what? This is our country. We better protect what we got. I'm Indian. And I root for the USA, the United States of America, and it is not the United States of America today. It is not united. And they don't want it to be united. They want it to be one side in the side of darkness and no light let in. That's a fact. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. People get really confused in their thinking, and I'm telling you, we're living in a generation right now where people don't even know if they're a girl or a boy. That ought to be real easy to figure out. Just look between your legs. That's real easy, isn't it? Whether you're a girl or a boy. But that's not enough anymore. Well, it's psychic. You know, during the 60s, we had a sexual revolution, didn't we? Didn't we or not? Mm-hmm. That was a sexual revolution. In the 60s with the sexual revolution, it actually started all the way back into the 30s. And then we have the homosexual revolution in America. That's what we live under today. The heterosexuals don't have as much rights as the homosexuals. They call us homophobics and they call us Islamophobia, we call it all kinds of stuff. They call us racist. They call us domestic terrorists. God is the ruler of the world. in all reality. Satan is the god of this age. He's really done a lot in the last thousands of years over mankind. Wrecked and raised and empires fell, and yet God has his hand in it also. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile, vain in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. Jesus said, I came in the world to bring light. And Jesus is the light. He's the bread of life. Said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In society, our society that we have here today, they need to re-educate the other side, because the other side doesn't have the right to believe what they believe. They've been brainwashed. The brainwashing didn't come from the conservative side. It came from the liberal side. And some things I say, people might think I'm a liberal, but I am not. I think we ought to steer down the road that's common sense. Exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. And that's today. What's happened today? Everybody pretty much has heard the gospel. People don't want to put their hand on the Bible anymore when they swear, do they? They'll just leave it off there just a little bit. Just above it, you know. Fake. Swearing on a Bible. Swearing by God. And yet going against God, blaspheming God in every action they make. For even though they know God, they did not honor Him as God. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What does the word reprobate mind? One that has what? One that has rejected the truth. For the exchange of the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. God gave them over to the lust of their hearts and purity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. God made man in his image, didn't he? That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. God made man in his image. And God, when God created man, he was a morally pure person. And Adam and Eve were morally pure, and they had sexual relationships, and they were not ashamed of it. They looked at one another, and it was totally normal what they were doing. They had no shame. And a man and a woman in marriage today have no shame. I don't care whether you two men marry each other legally or two women marry each other legally. It is a shame. And it's a disgrace to God. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, when you tell the truth, it's a lie. They've totally switched everything around. Truth is a lie, and lie is the truth. And don't you dare speak the truth, because you're a domestic terrorist. It's illegal for you to believe what you believe. It's illegal for you to follow the Word of God. It's illegal for you to want moral structure. It's illegal for you to want your lawmakers to be honest and above board, and not to stand up and lie to you, not to fabricate evidence, not to destroy democracy. Democracy came from Baptist churches and the old Greek society of Ecclesia. And it's been a hard fight all the way. People, you can't go out and arm yourself and fight the country. It ain't going to happen. I mean, it may happen, but you're not going to win. You're not strong enough. You can't do it. The only way that you can ever turn society around is people get sick of what's happening and realize they were wrong. Even though I believe the president was elected, what they call Trump as an illegitimate president, we got one. They don't want the votes to be, the machines to be validated. If he had won legally, he would want to be validated, wouldn't he? The Bush election, George Jr. in Florida, we know that he stole that election. We know that Kennedy, back, he got along, involved with the mafia family because Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger and they knew each other. They had business with each other for years. And he got Sam Giancana and Russell Buffaloni, all of these people, they pulled and the Teamsters Union and all, and he got the election. But I believe the man was going in the right direction. That's why he got taken out. It was taken out by the same people that took the president out, the same group. It is common knowledge now for all of that. The Warren Report was a facade. We know who the people that did the contract, Sam Giancana. We know who the shooters were. We know that there were three of them. We know it was a cover-up. We know that the one that they blamed it on was an undercover CIA agent. We know that the CIA worked with Sam Giancana going into Cuba to try to assassinate Castro. We know Castro had nothing to do with the assassination because it was a coup. It says here, to make light darkness and lie the truth, they're exchanging the truth for lies. America needs to be educated to what the truth is and what's going on among our society, and it ought to be open. Trump tried to release all of the evidence of the Kennedy coup or assassination. They were still trying to fight and cover some of it up. But we know who the people are now. We know that Jim Garrison in Louisiana, that everything that he brought in court evidence is now the truth. Francis Chedraui wrote the book, I Paint Houses, originally, and then The Irishman. And we have the movie The Irishman. That's political science, people. That's not baloney. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are facts. This happened. Be aware of it. They're capable of doing this. The society we live in is capable of doing this. Because they have done it. Truth does matter. For God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts and to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the Creator, the creation instead of the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function, that which is natural, to that which is unnatural. And we have made it illegal. We have made the murder of babies illegal. Boy, murder is legal. Immorality is legal. And you are the illegal person because you say you're a terrorist, because you say it's wrong. In the same way, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire one for another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of the error. And many people believe that's AIDS. Well, And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to the depraved, twisted minds, to those that, which things are not proper, and been filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and greed and malice and full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and they are gossips. Boy, how about the big five? Do you think they might be gossips? You think they might be spreading lies? You think the American people don't know what news is today? Why did Twitter arbitrarily take down all of Trump's page? Why did Twitter edit what's being said? Do they have a right to do that? Do we have the First Amendment in our Constitution? The amendment to our Constitution? First Amendment? The right of speech? Haters of God, insolent, arrogant. They stand up there and say, this is the way it is. We are dictators and that's the way it is. Arrogant. Don't you dare say I'm wrong. You don't have an opinion. Boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and yet they say we are outlaws. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. They make it lawful for those who practice them. They applaud them. Truth becomes lies. Darkness becomes light. The people don't know darkness from light. Society is defined by what it will tolerate. Making their own rules. Violence. Violence against law-abiding, hard-working citizens. They demonize the truth. They revile and rewrite history. They change our heroes into villains. Our heroes were human. They made mistakes. I have made mistakes in my life. I've made them. But you don't rewrite history. Thomas Jefferson was a great man. Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner because that's what society did at that time. Thomas Jefferson married a woman, and from her father, he gave them several slaves. All the slaves that Thomas Jefferson's father-in-law gave to him were half-brothers and half-sisters to his wife. When his wife died, he began to cohabit with Sally Hemings, which was his wife's half-sister. And she was probably three-quarter white, but she was a slave. Yeah, that happened. But what did the man do for our country? Abraham Lincoln, now Kamala Harris and Biden, said he was the most racist president ever was. That man gave his life that black people might be set free. He gave his life. Did they do that? Have they will they do it? It was a terrible thing. I know what racism is because I've been an object of it. I look old and I'm pale now and my eyes are not Oriental or Asian anymore like high-blooded American Indians. But I've been treated like a lazy, dumb Indian. And I was treated like that in society. I know what racism is. And I don't believe in it at all. But now the white culture, I used to make a little joke. People say, what have you been doing? I said, but plotting against the whites. I used to say that and laugh. Boy, that's what's going on today, people. You're the minority. If you're white, maybe you have become a villain of society. Maybe you have become the aggressors and the villains of society. We've had some great heroes in society, and we need to look at those heroes, and we need to remember those heroes. Robert E. Lee was the greatest general in American history. He stood with his state when they seceded from the Union. He did not want the Union to break, but he believed in states' rights. He went out and arrested John Brown and hung him when they were trying to split the Union up. He did everything he could. He walked the floor day and night trying to figure out what he should do. When he was elected as Commander General of the Southern Army, he did his best, and he prayed every day. He was a great man. His daughters loved their father so much, and he was the superintendent of West Point. Now he's a villain, you know. He was the superintendent of West Point. He trained all the soldiers on both sides of the Civil War, and they were scared to death of him because he was the greatest. The only way they whipped him because they had to break the rules. They had to break the rules to whip him. And when he surrendered as a gentleman. And all these bedraggled others in Grant and Sherman, they took their hats off to him because that was their hero. He was their hero even when he was defeated. And now he's a villain. His daughters didn't want to get married because they couldn't find anybody as good as their father was ever met his standards. When he had a stroke before his death, he did everything he could do to try to unite America. And still he was a villain. They had never really signed the papers that made him a free citizen in America again, but he did everything he could to unite this country. He did everything he could to unite the country. People would want to fight still, and he said, forget, this is our country now. We're one country. He was saying prayer at his meal with his girls all around him and his wife there at dinner time, and he slumped over to say the prayer, and he had a stroke and could never speak again. Their hero. The United States government took his land, his farm. They built a graveyard right up to his land, to his house, and they turned it into Arlington. Arlington Cemetery. When you walk into Arlington Cemetery, where all the great people are buried, that was land stolen from Robert E. Lee. He gave so much to this nation. He trained all the soldiers on both sides. He was a great man of God. He fought for what he believed was right. And when it was time to surrender, he surrendered. And then he tried to reunite the Union the best he could. Soldiers came to him from far and wide to ask his advice. And he said, surrender. Don't fight. Make us a nation again. We can take Robert E. Lee's attitude and try to put this country back together, but the other half of it does not want to be united. This country is being divided. We need to try to unite it again. This is all we got, people. This is all we have. We have to fight for it in the election boxes, and we have to try to make sure they are valid and try to make sure they are transparent. Whatever side wins ought to be legitimate. Absolutely. Our society owes that to us. Our society owes justice to us. That is a debt. Justice is a debt society owes to its people. Father, we send this message out. I pray that you just touch people's lives with it. You told us to pray for our leaders, and I pray for the salvation. I pray the conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. I pray that you condemn their hearts and touch them. Give them repentance that they'll beg for your mercy. And then change their lives and their hearts and turn lies into truth and truth.